Hey friend, it's Karen Parker with the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. I'm a mom of three beautiful souls, a lifelong entrepreneur, and intuitive coach. At 52, I realized that I have known all along that everything I needed to become the best version of myself was already inside. I'm bringing all the secrets to you by sharing what I've learned in my experiences over the years. Also, in this podcast, you'll hear tips and wisdom from some of the bravest people I know. You'll hear their stories of how they took their own leap of faith and learned to live their life in complete joy and freedom. Take my hand as you listen and learn how to rise above all your disappointments, all your struggles, and begin to experience your own joy in the journey. Let's go! Welcome to season two of the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. This season, we are going to be talking about being intentional with your life and things regarding your health, your energy, your connections with people, your thoughts, your words, and your heart. Most importantly, I will be bringing on experts to take us on a journey of learning of how to be in each of those categories and situations. Some topics we will cover in 2 to 3 episodes with 2 or 3 different guests. So hold on tight, because if you thought season one was amazing, just you wait. Well, welcome back to season two of the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. And today I am super excited because I get to introduce you to one of my favorite people on the planet. And when I first met him, he walked in the room with this presence that was so balanced in the masculine and feminine energy that it made me ask, who is this person? And we're going to circle back around to that. But Fabiano and I met in October at a somatic breathwork release facilitator's training. And he actually was it interning of sorts with Stephen Jaggers. And this was like his second or third time through, and he had been practicing breathwork and things like that. So it was really cool to see his take on all that was going down over those 4 days. But I wanted to bring him on to the podcast because what he is doing right now in this world, he has really stepped into alignment of who he is. And I'm still getting to know him better, and we're going to do that here live on the podcast. So again, thanks for joining us again. Thank you, Fabiano, for honoring me and saying yes and taking the leap to trust me in this next, 45 minutes to an hour with all the questions and everything. One thing I do want to say is that he went through a series of events not that long ago that made his trajectory in life just flip a 180, basically. He's a former firefighter. He has worked in operating rooms with surgeons and things like that. So I'm going to let him kind of tell you a little bit more about him. Welcome. Thank you. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Karen. It's such an honor to be on here. And it was a no-brainer to say yes. We spent 4 full days together in Austin, and it was just a very beautiful experience. I'm just very honored to be here.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to talk about those life experiences. Tell us your, because everybody wants to hear like a little bit of background, but okay, let's get to the juicy part. But I think part of your story is your background. That is kind of the juicy part. And was it 2014? You actually went through a divorce. Mm-hmm. Then you had this spiritual awakening, and then you were in a car accident. So a lot has happened in a short amount of time. Take us back to who you were before you got married.
Yeah. So That's going to be pretty easy to explain. I didn't know who I was. And it was a very dark time that I didn't realize was transpiring. And I thought I was supposed to live the life that my parents lived and get married young, have kids, have the house, the job, all those things. And that was not what was in the cards for me. And it took me, getting married in a relationship where there was a lot of love, but there was also a lot of projecting and a lot of traumatic experiences that were brought into the relationship. And I didn't realize that, for one, like, I wasn't showing up. I was just expecting, and the relationship was going to be this way because, like, that's what I saw. And that's, I didn't know any better. I didn't really have any great models, role models, in the sense of, what a healthy relationship should look like. Although my parents, like, really do love each other, and they're still together after 35, 36 years. And they've gone through their own experiences, but it wasn't necessarily the ones that I had at that moment. And so there was a lot of realization, and whether it was conscious or not, like, I realized it was not what was right for me in that moment. And so after going through counseling and our own individual therapists, I decided that we should get divorced.
Yeah.
And
And that's a big step. And we don't have to get into all the details, but I think people need to know that, hello, you're human. Because what you're doing now is a testament to the things that you've learned along the way. And I'm going through a lot of that myself. Like when we get into a relationship of sorts, and these can be, platonic relationships or, love relationships, it doesn't matter. We come into it, right, with our own projections because of our past experiences. And what we don't know, we don't know. So once we learn and once we know, then we know better and we can do better. Talk to me about the music festival.
So there's, like, a lot of fun that happened after the divorce. It was a lot of so I'll say I got divorced December 10th, 2014, and for me it's, like, helpful to remember timelines. And so 2015 was just a lot of just exploring, not really exploring. I was in the hospital at that time, and I got a job in the open heart unit. And then 2016, my friends told me about music festivals. They've been going for, like, a year or so, and they're like, "You have to come. It'll change your life. Like, it's nothing like you've ever experienced before." And I was like, I always judged it because I was like, "Everyone's just gonna take drugs and stuff, and, like, I don't want to do that." Lo and behold, I did that. And it was May of 2016. I went to this local music festival called Sunset Music Festival, and I took a mixture of LSD and ecstasy, and just had this complete out of body experience. And after that, it was I never looked at life the same. Like, I didn't care about materialistic objects. I didn't care about having a new phone or the car or any of that stuff. I was like, what is this? What is the deeper meaning of life? Was happening in my mind, and I was like, what is this? Like, what is this all about? Like, why are we actually here? And what I could see at these experiences was just this deep sense of love and connection with everybody. I mean, there's, like, all walks of life there, and everyone's just hugging on each other. And while there is obviously substances involved, like, I feel like these things can still be experienced outside of that. And so I continued to go to these experiences, and I continued to connect with people just, like, from all over the world. And one of the things that I realized I was searching for was love. And it was I was finding that, but not realizing that it was something that was already inside of me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But this took a continuous path of, I would say, like fun and destruction to figure that out.
Right, right.
2017 came along, and a lot of people, you're familiar with the Saturn return?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so apparently that was mine. And that's when a lot of stuff happened, and in a very short time.
Talk about that, because I don't think a lot of people on the podcast know what that is.
Okay.
Explain it a little bit.
Yeah.
Just briefly.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to be an expert. So,
yeah.
I know very little about it.
Right. Right.
It's the time in our lives where Saturn returns back into orbit of where we were when we were born, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So, and Saturn is known as, like, if there's shit that you're doing in your life that you're not supposed to be doing, you're going to get a universal sledgehammer.
Yeah. Like the great reset almost in our own life.
Exactly. Yeah. And while I wasn't listening, I was continuing to do the same things over and over, going to music festivals every weekend, like just, you know, not really sleeping as much, because I was like that fear of missing out mm-hmm. on these experiences and fear of missing out on experiencing love.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this music festival in June of 2017 in EDC Las Vegas. And I was there for a week from like Tuesday to Tuesday. And I was there with friends, and then I ended up meeting this woman, and we ended up spending the entire week together, and we fell in love.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And then I got back, and this is kind of when everything started.
Uh-huh.
I didn't sleep for 3 days because there was so much in my system, and it was a process to getting everything out. I went back to work. Mind you, I'm still working in the open heart unit at this time. And obviously not a lot of people knew that
right.
I was doing this. And I was working, and like a week or two passed. The woman that I was talking to, she ended up living in Florida. We met in Vegas, but she lived in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I found out she went back to her ex through social media. So I didn't know any of that. And then from there, I was working 7 shifts in a row, and I worked overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off shift on Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning. And my friends asked me if I wanted to go to brunch. And I said, sure, why not? I didn't sleep. Might as well. from there, we decided to do the all you can drink and all you can eat and all that stuff. And I was already tired, mind you. I stopped drinking probably around 5 p.m. and ended up going back to their place, you know, for a little bit. And it was maybe 9 p.m. when everything, we were in their hot tub.
Uh-huh.
And I fell asleep in the hot tub. I was exhausted. And then I got this just random burst of energy, and I was like, I need to go home.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'm not going to make it. And I ended up getting in my car. And this time, like I had, you know, I was just drinking water for the last 5 hours,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 hours. And I ended up getting in my car, and from Tampa to St. Pete, there's this bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That called the Howard Franklin Bridge. And I ended up falling asleep on the bridge, and I was going 70 miles an hour, and I woke up because I hit a pickup truck.
Mm-mm.
And the impact of the pickup truck threw me into the wall, into the guardrail. Mm-hmm. And my car ended up going airborne. And from there, is when things kind of started to slow down, and just very slow down and speed up and slow down and speed up. And I hit my head on the steering wheel, blacked out. I came to again, like very quickly. and I noticed that there was water. And I was still in the air, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna die. Like, okay, this is
this
the
is
end
it.
Of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the grace of God or our creator or source or, you know, whatever anyone wants to believe, my car, instead of going straight, it ended up turning in the air and came down very hard to a screeching halt. All airbags deployed, glass shattered, front end of the car was like completely just like this. Hit my head on the steering wheel and blacked out again. And then I woke up and it was 10:52 p.m. on the clock. And I just started asking myself, like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And I started feeling around my body. Everything was intact. My knee was bruised, my elbow was bruised, and I had a slight concussion. And I couldn't see anything because all my airbags were deployed. And so I tried to open my door, and it opened, and I got out. And it was the calmest night on Tampa Bay. The calmest night. And I looked over, and I thought I killed the people in the truck. And everybody survived. Like, no, like, injuries.
Wow.
By the grace of God, that nothing happened.
Yeah.
But their truck rolled and hit the other rail. And I looked out, and I was just like, I just started crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my whole body. And this is kind of like a tall tale for me now, to know that, like, if I'm connected to source or not, I get body sensations,
mm-hmm.
or it's like a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
My whole body just lit up in this, like it is right now.
Yeah. I know. I've got chills too. Yeah.
And, it was like the first time that I feel like I ever talked to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the message that I got was, you need to stop doing the shit that you're doing, because you're here to do bigger things.
Yeah.
And like, and if you keep going down this route, this path, you're not going to live.
Yeah.
And so I listened.
Yeah.
Started to, at least, I should say.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. Like, every time. It's interesting. Look, I'll just back up to say this. It's interesting to see who has stepped into this arena, kind of like you and I are, of like, okay, I know that there is something bigger, and it is more on a, it's like on the spiritual level, but we work in a practical sense with people in that spiritual place because of the stuff that we've been through. It's like all of the experiences kind of culminate to this head, and we're trying to figure out why the heck we have gone through all of these things. And then lo and behold, the people that we're serving, because that's what we're doing. We are serving. They're stepping forth. They're the ones saying yes, but we are in this place of service and in this place of holding space for these people to, I don't want to say come to their senses, but for lack of a better term, finally have something click of that intuition to say yes, to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, talk about what was life like immediately after that? Because sometimes we hear that and then our head gets in the way. So
yeah.
What was it like? Did you just take a leap and be like, okay, I'm done, I'm moving forward? Or was there more questions?
The latter, for sure. A lot more questions. I wish I could say like I just took the leap, but after that, 2.5 weeks later, my dog died.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, and so I lost my best friend.
Yep.
And it was the first time since my marriage that I'd been alone. So I started asking a lot of questions, you know, like I was like, what am I, like, what am I here? Like, why, who am I and why am I here? Were very big questions that I asked myself. And my sister, maybe 2 weeks before my car accident, 2, 3 weeks before, she had a baby. She had my niece. And after the car accident, she told me, she goes, I want you to be her godfather. And in Italian culture, that's a very big deal. And, you know, I was just like, and she goes, you know what that means, right? And I was like, I do. And so for me, it put me, I would say I slowed down for sure. I wasn't going to music festivals anymore to like really party or anything like that. I was more of like the dad now, if that makes sense. Making sure everyone was taken care of and everyone was okay. But it wasn't until 2018 when things really started to shift. I mean, during this entire process, I'll say this, starting in 2016, 2015, 2016, and then even until today, I've always had this like thirst for wisdom, like knowledge. I love learning. And so I was like experiencing these things happening inside me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to learn to meditate. What is this thing? I'm journaling. Why is this important? Reading, like all these things, ice baths, breath work. And I started learning these things through podcasts, through reading books, through just kind of like, I don't believe that any of us are really self-taught, because even if we can't afford coaches, there's still so much information that's at our fingertips. There's so much knowledge. So I was doing these things and I was learning these things. And so 2018, I was like really starting to implement all these things. And then I, at the end of 2018, it was October 14th, 2018, I met this woman who would be a catalyst of mine for like all this change in a very short amount of time, because it was a very, very strong connection, but it was also very triggering. And because she was a very strong woman, and I noticed all my insecurities were coming out. And I thought she was doing it on purpose, until I really learned that, you know, through David Data's teachings and just the whole deep intimacy work, which I'm really learning to embody now, is she was testing me. Not necessarily knowing she was testing me. And I was failing miserably. And I say that because like I understand, like I understand where how men can be confused. And because we're very black and white, like this is what you said, but from my understanding of these teachings and practices is that emotional, women are emotional based. So your yes could be a no the next moment. Not to say that it is going to always be that way, but it's just an understanding of how we both work. And so yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. And so that relationship was very triggering for me. And, you know, I had these feelings of not being loved, of not being good enough, of being like very insecure. I noticed I had jealousy that was coming up. All these things that were happening and transpiring. And I was just like, I told her about this idea throughout the whole thing. I was like, I had this idea, and I feel like because of what I'm experiencing, it could be a good thing. And I was like, I have this idea about starting a men's group. And her question to me was, that sounds great. How are you going to make money doing that? And I was
Which
like,
is
I don't fucking
actually a very masculine thing to say.
Exactly. So you can kind of see what was happening there. And my response was, I don't fucking know, but that's not why I'm doing it. Like, it's not my thought about why it's gonna happen. And even until like last couple of years, it wasn't the reason why I've started what I started. Mm-hmm. I wanted to create a space for men to be able to have these safe containers to express and to reflect and to also contribute. Because if men want to serve, we want to be able to learn and also be able to help each other in the process.
Yeah, it's so good. So I want to go back to, before we get into that whole, the what we're talking about with your group and all of that, I want to go back to that masculine and feminine dynamics, because I feel that, or what I'm seeing, okay, right now in the world, especially like, you know, the dating world today versus the way it used to be and all of the things, we have all these things that are going on in our minds. And it's funny because dating at 53 is very different than it was back in when you're 20 years old, right? It's like, we want to get to the point, say what you mean, say what you're looking for. If it's not going to, you know, it's very like direct. There's no games. However, you do come across some men that are very, they're trying, instead of asking questions, they're tending to make a lot of assumptions. However, I'm seeing in the younger generation this desire to learn more. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to put your finger on the pulse of that yet, or why that's actually happening with, say, your generation?
Right.
Because we're like 20 years apart, basically.
I would say because of a lot of programming or a lot of experience, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. It's very much a lack of healthy examples. Mm-hmm. How do we communicate in relationship? Like, without, because the way I communicate was I try to have no ambiguity.
Yeah.
Because one of my mentors, he says, ambiguity is the death of intimacy.
Absolutely.
And I'm such a big believer in that, because I've noticed when I am like cryptic in my messaging, it's like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm not being direct enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that being direct is a masculine thing. Mm-hmm. There is no like play. Like, this is what I mean. This is what I want. This is my intention. Like, that is a very healthy form of masculine, in the sense of like, if it's done in love.
Right. Right.
Done with an open heart.
Yeah. Are you finding that directness is more difficult for women to understand, or that they actually prefer that?
I would say it's both.
It's not a true question, really.
Yeah. No, I mean, from my experience alone, me being direct is allowing, whether it's conscious or not, a deep level of trust that's happening, because there is no guessing.
Right.
And I'm in integrity with what I'm saying. My actions match my words. And that's what I've noticed a lot of women do want is that sense of, are you in alignment with what you say and what you do?
Right. Right. Because of our past experiences, you know, we're always trying to guess what they're saying, because they're in secret. They haven't been completely forthcoming. And so we're always questioning it. So for me, in learning, it's like, when men show you who they are, believe them. But also know that there are good men out there, and that there are men out there that will say what they mean and mean what they say. And I think that's the ultimate of what a woman wants, is a man to say what he means and follow it up with the actions, because that's where the disconnect has been. They say one thing and then they do something completely different. So then how can we trust, you know, what they're saying. And so you started this group called A Men of Refuge. Let's talk about that, because that I think is going to be like super powerful. When we first met, you mentioned that you work a lot with both men and women in that mm-hmm. dynamic. So we'll get back to that, but let's talk about why you actually did start Men of Refuge, what you're doing, all the things, because I've been watching you and I see the powerful work behind the scenes or and stuff that you're showing that is happening in these men's lives. And so talk about that. Talk about the age range of it and the importance of all of that that's happening.
Yeah. So age range, I would say is 18 to, we had a man who was just recently, he was in the men's group 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, but he recently passed away.
Oh, wow.
And he was in his 60s, 70s.
Okay.
And we have an elder, he's 75.
Wow, nice.
So it's really, the age range is pretty vast.
Yeah.
And it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I would say the majority of it's probably in the 20s, 30s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then low 40s as well. So I'll go back to like how this all started.
Yeah.
And why?
Please.
So I told her end of 2018, mm-hmm. my idea. And then we ended up splitting on December 30th because and it was the best thing that could have happened. And at the time it was very painful because she told me, she's like, I feel like you need to do this on your own.
Yeah.
And there was so much that happened, because of that. I ended up watching this documentary like on the new year called I'm Not Your Guru by Tony Robbins.
Yeah. Yep.
And
seen it.
Everyone told me, they're like, you need to watch this. We feel like there's something in there for you. Like, we don't know what it is, but you need to watch it. And so I'm at work one night and I had just got done my patient rounds and, you know, just, I was sitting over at the desk and I turned it on and just pulled my journal out and I just started watching it. And I was like, okay, a lot of these people are having like these massive transformations, like right away. Like,
right.
What is, like, this is so cool. Like, this is amazing. I'm like, but nothing really called to me until this woman stood up and she started talking about her partner. And she goes, he's this like such a sweet, nurturing, loving guy. And like immediately it caught my attention. Because this is stuff that I would hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet, loving, nurturing, compassionate, like a gentle heart. And she's like, but I know he has this like lion inside of him. Like he's got this like primal side that he's afraid to let out. And like my whole body just lit up in the sense of like, you know, there's the sign that I would get.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really started to listen to what she was saying. And Tony, as she's continuing to talk about him, Tony's like, is he here with you tonight? And he was sitting right next to her. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm like, oh.
Did you feel the anxiety start to
literally, rise? Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt it for him because I was like, I am him.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting what happened next. And he stood him up and he's like guiding him through a process. And then he says this one thing to him and it's stuck with me ever since. And it was, heal the boy and the man will appear. And that entire like just phrase shook me, like really, like my entire body just started, I had like a flush, like a full body flush, goosebumps everywhere, my head, hair, all that. And and I just kept saying it out loud. I hit pause and I just wrote it down and I just kept saying it. And then I immediately had like, it was probably within like 60 seconds to like 2 minutes, I went flashback so fast to every single one of my relationships. And then I ended up at my parents' relationship and me as a kid and seeing how their relationship was and understanding that some of the things that I learned is our subconscious mind is programmed from third trimester. So before we're even born,
right,
till 7 or 8 years old. And I realized that because of the lack of emotional support or guidance or understanding from my father.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was physically present in mm-hmm. those moments, but he wasn't, I didn't know what it meant to be a man. I didn't know how it was to be in a relationship. I learned a lot of my relationship habits from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Very loving, compassionate, nurturing, caretaking of a woman, still is, but she's also in those times she was very submissive to my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I became that in my relationships.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but I just started crying.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in the middle of work. And I was like, oh my God. So I ended up texting my mom and my sister. I was like, I need to have a conversation with Dad. And so I ended up flying up to North Carolina. That's where they were at the time, in Raleigh. And
you know, I'm from Durham originally.
Yeah, I remember that. That's why it's funny. Yeah, they lived there for 6-7 years.
Okay.
And so at the time it was, I went up for my nephew's birthday. It was January 6th, 2019. And I went up there and I had a conversation with my dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, asking him like, you know, why weren't you there for me as like to help guide me into what it means, like to be a man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the first time in 30 years at the time, I think I was 30 or 29, I ever seen him cry.
Wow.
And Sicilian men don't cry. He's from,
right.
He's from
right.
Sicily.
Right, right.
And I got to understand his story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether he knew it or not, what was actually, I realized was happening is, like, we were healing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my relationship with him and his relationship with his father and so on and so on and so on. And it ended up being something that turned into something much greater, because now I had an understanding and I was no longer a victim of my childhood or of my conditioning or whatever it was. I now had something that was like, okay, this is, I can change this.
The Men of Refuge movement believes in a world where the first thing anyone feels when a man walks into the room is, I am safe here, I am protected here, and this is my shelter. They have the power to shift this narrative and restore the sturdy masculine energy that is needed in the world so deeply, making this feeling the status quo in the world is why Men of Refuge exist. And they make the world real by helping men return to their true masculine presence. If you're a man, you know this deep presence. Whether it is consciously or unconsciously, you feel it in your bones because it's nothing new. It is an ancient energy that has been inside you all along, waiting to be fully embodied. The truth is, it is ready to be fully embraced and then shared with the world. And all the Men of Refuge is doing is returning and helping you return back to that presence. The beautiful thing is that when a man penetrates the world with that presence, he does become a safe refuge for everything he desires in his life. Everything he's yearned for now comes into his life and wants to stay. If a man wants these things to come into his life and stay, he needs to be able to hold them, to support them, and carry them forward. He does this through being in his true masculine presence on a daily basis and continuing to cultivate that presence on every step of the journey. The Men of Refuge has a retreat happening at the end of February, and to reserve your spot now and to get more information, go to menofrefuge.com. Be sure to enter the code PURSUIT25 for your discount.
I didn't start going through this. I would say things started to happen after that, but it didn't really take flight until August 12th of 2019, which is the first ever, I called it the Conscious Men's Feast. Italians, we like to eat and we like to talk. So I was like, let's start something. And I told some friends about it. My buddy's like, let's do it at my place. So we all came together at this round table and brought food, and we just started talking, and I told them my idea. My buddy helped me create a mind map, if you're familiar with that. And then 2 weeks later, I went to a men's retreat, and it was like an initiation retreat.
Right.
And there I met a volunteer. His name is Duncan. And he ended up coming back with me. I told him, like, I told everyone at the retreat, like, this idea that I had. He ended up coming back with me and staying with me for 3 months and helped it grow from 8 of us to like 150.
Wow. Wow. Within, in just 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, the group blew up fast. It was really fast, and it was so organic. The way that everything happened, and I was not prepared.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Yeah.
I was continuously going through my own egoic death of like holding on to things that were no longer serving me, and I had to let go of a lot. And it was just a process of like, no, because I never saw myself as a leader, or like at least leading people like at all. I was always like the follower. And it wasn't until this, I mean, even up until present moment, there's still so much I'm letting go of.
Yeah. I think we're always, if you're in the right frame of mind, there's always something to let go of, because we get to that next stage of growth and we realize, okay, I thought I let go of everything, but yet there's another layer, you know, and it's just like a plant, you know, as it's growing, the dead falls off and the new growth continues to go. And so, yeah, I mean, that's like natural, but it's hard we know it, but it's hard to understand it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This is like, when we think we know, but do we know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, it's one of those, I had to feel it. I had to continuously feel it within myself, because people would see this happening and they would be like, you are literally made for this. And I couldn't feel it yet. And last year I had a catalyst right before we met, which really, really made me feel, made me understand like everything that I'm doing, everything that I am helping create a space for men to do. And because I believe helping men heal helps the world heal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's one of those things that I would hear is why not men and women? I'm like, helping men is helping women.
It's helping women.
It's helping everybody. I'm like, it's not that I'm like, my focus is helping men understand themselves, why they are the way that they are, and understanding that they don't have to be a product of their past. So, and there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of blame, and there's a lot of guilt within men, because maybe it's not even something that we did, but something that men and as a whole have done.
Right.
And so we may not have been responsible for the things that happened, but we are responsible for creating a safe world and helping heal those parts of ourselves and everybody else.
One of the things that you said in your bio that you wrote down is that you want to change the world in such a way that when a man walks in the room, you want the world to feel, you want everyone in that room to feel that they're safe there, that they're protected, and that it's their shelter. And not just the space, but in who the man embodies himself. Like, and when we were paired together, that was immediately what I felt. And I, but yet at from, and okay, let me back up. We were paired together to work together in this breathwork session. And normally I would feel just a little intimidated if someone came into the experience with more experience than me. my best friends typically have always been men. So that had that part wasn't, you know, okay, I'm working with a guy. No, but what I felt with you was exactly that. This is a safe space, and yet I really sense the leader in you, but it was a quiet confidence. And I don't know if that was because you just came off of that trajectory of what you had experienced just prior to that you were just talking about, or whether that's just something that you're continually to understand and to embody and embrace. But I just wanted to build your confidence in that, to know that it is there and it is seen, and it doesn't have to be this big lioness roar to shake the room when you come in. But when you're there, it is a boldness and a confidence, and yet a humbleness, all wrapped up in this beautiful package that you bring to the table. So I just wanted to say that to you, to know that whatever evolution that is still happening, it's happening in this beautiful way that I see, that I can't wait for you to see in its fullness, because it's just like, yeah, okay, I just have goosebumps all over the place. But anyway, so continue just to what you're doing, but go back to this Men of Refuge thing, because let's fast forward a little bit. You've grown it. It is, you're getting ready to have this amazing event at the end of February. And I want you to tell people what's the plan with all of that, because we're gonna talk about something that is available to them that they can actually take away tangibly and actually be in your presence and learn from you and be able to experience some of these things on their own. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for your words. Very honored. And I received that very much. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you too.
So the last 9 weeks, we've been hosting Men of Refuge Men's Council. And so when we met, Men of Refuge is the rebrand of what was Conscious Men's Collective.
And so okay.
This has been something that's more direct, more intentional, more aligned in vision, purpose, values. So we've been hosting Men's Council every single week for the last 9 weeks.
Nice.
And creating a space in the community and even online for men to come to begin to understand what this is and how to embody these things, these pillars: listening, ownership, purpose, truth, and heart in the areas of self, service, and sacred partnership. Awesome. So we believe those are the three main masculine desires. Everything else falls in line with all of that. And so we have been cultivating a container now where we'll be hosting our first retreat of the year called The Forge. Mm-hmm. And February 24th to the 27th in Florida. So it's a really beautiful time of the year here. And
I had to get a picture. Keep talking. Yeah.
and it's a space where we are cultivating a sense of brotherhood in this space for men to meet themselves, for men who haven't been able to face those parts of themselves because they haven't felt safe enough to, or maybe they've been told that they shouldn't do that,
right?
Or they shouldn't feel that, or you're just going to be this way the rest of your life. So it's a space for men to come to not feel alone or isolated, because we're doing this together. It's a lot of deep embodiment work, a lot of having the hard conversations, a lot of reflection, a lot of contribution, a lot of play too.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it. I mean, we have like 7 axes. So I teach them to chop wood, which is funny, ironic because of my accident in 2020.
Right. Like, okay.
But no, it's one of those things. Now it's a space for men to be able to do the deep work, and if they're new to this work, it's okay to like to become part of this process. Like it's more, it's welcomed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's very much a container where we call each other out on the things that we may not see if we're playing into our stories, but we do it in a space where it's in love and in understanding, and that everything there stays there. So the things that are talked about stay in that container.
Nice. Where is this going to be again? And give us the dates one more time, because I'm going to have it in the show notes, but I just want to reiterate it because people have to hear things so many times.
Of course. February 24th to the 27th.
Okay.
And it's Floral City, Florida.
Awesome.
So they'll fly into Tampa International.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's talk about... So we're wanting to extend this beyond, mm-hmm. you know, the people that are involved now. How mm-hmm. can they find you and how can they get more information?
Yeah, so our website is menofrefuge.com. My Instagram mm-hmm. is Fabiano_Manino. And then @menofrefuge as well on Instagram. Okay.
On Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody, men and women, need to go follow Fabiano because some of his stuff that's up there is just, it's so good, because not only as a female learning about how we understand ourselves better and how we operate, it's understanding how the male brain operates too. And it can be a wide range of things. And for me, I do tend to be more dominant in my, in the way that I carry myself, in the way that I think and do and things like that. But at my core, I'm very much more of the feminine, and I desire, I've always kind of attracted that somebody who almost wants a mother figure of sorts, I'm not going to say that that's necessarily what it was, but somebody who kind of wanted that, but yet it was just this toxic polarization, and at my core, what I really want is that man who has that compassion and that heart, but also is a strong, quiet leader and that can lead, and that it actually it's easier for me to surrender and to be wrapped up into that and to be more vulnerable instead of always having my defenses up and instead of always being like, okay, if he's not going to do it, then I got to do it. It just have that trust, in that relationship. And I think that there's more women out there that really desire that. They just don't know mm-hmm. how to let go of the control because they felt like they've had to control or be responsible for so long. And that comes from how we were raised. It really comes from how we were raised. And so I appreciate the work that you are doing. I do want to ask you some rapid fire questions. So we're going to break up the monotony real quick. First of all, if you could live anywhere in the world, money and time being no object, where would it be?
Wow, that's a great... I love Costa Rica.
That has been the common place that everybody has said just recently, and I'm in on that one too. Worst food you've ever had?
Oh, wow.
Because food is a staple in the Italian family, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. Wow. I'm drawing a blank right now. Worst food I've ever had.
Worst, not the best, the worst.
I mean, anything fast food.
Ah, there you go. You're right. Okay. Audible or real books?
Audible.
And what's your favorite go-to for self-care?
How do we define self-care?
So anything that you need to do to reset. Because that can be a broad range of things for everybody. It's different for everybody. So that's, yeah.
Yeah. So immediate distance for me is that I have a cold plunge. So I cold plunge. But
awesome.
Also, I like to go to the mountains.
Ooh, what mountains?
So North Carolina.
Yeah, what part?
Yeah. Just outside of Asheville, Hendersonville.
Yep. Yep.
My friend had a property out there, so.
Nice. Next time you're coming through North Carolina, we have got to meet up. You need to come to the coast. You need to come. You think the Florida coast is nice? So you need to come to my part, my little part of the coast of North Carolina. It is, they call it the Crystal Coast for a reason, because we do have white sand, kind of like Destin area. And the water is just this beautiful crystal blue. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And it's not overly shelly. It's not touristy. It's amazing. All
I'm so
right.
down.
Last question. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
What is tomorrow? Friday?
Friday.
I had to think about that.
I know.
Wow. Everything I've been doing has been Men of Refuge related. Fridays are my day to just almost chill in a bit. It's more relaxed. Wow. I'm looking forward to spending time with friends.
That's good. That's good. One of my intentions this year is to be very intentional about my connections, meaning who I'm spending time with, and not just and saying yes more. You know, a lot of times we're taught to say no a little bit more, but I'm learning to say yes more to the fun things, to the connections, to the opportunities, I guess I should say. So I want to thank you for being on today. Thank you for giving us your story. Thank you for being vulnerable with us. And if you like this podcast, if you like this episode, please rush over to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review, share this with all of your friends and family. And by all means, you men need to go follow Fabiano, follow Men of Refuge, check out his work, check out what he's doing. Even if it's just the first time, get out of your own comfort zone, go do something for yourself, learn a little bit more, take it or leave it, and just, hey, shake things up a little bit, right? Is
Love
there
that.
anything else that you would say or that you would leave with our guest today?
Just very honored to be on here. And we're helping men create, become safe refuge for everything they desire in life. That's to be able to hold all of those things that they desire, which is a meaningful way to serve, sacred intimate partnership, and a life that they're happy of providing for themselves.
So good. So good. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day today to listen to this latest episode. I would be forever honored if you would give us a 5-star review. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave those in the comment section. And we look forward to seeing you next time.